today, but God is good. God never fails. And my message this morning is don't miss out on God's best. Don't miss out on God's best. I want to start by taking a look at the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. Very interesting book. There's still conjecture of theologians. I don't get involved too much with trying to take sides. I'm just glad it was written, the book. Some say it was Apollos, and some say it was Paul. But whoever, there's telltale signs that Apollos, who was very eloquent in speech and writing, wrote this book. There are others who believe that Paul wrote the book because of other things that are in this writing that sort of depicts the way Paul would say things. But whatever we have to look at, it's not looking at, because they're not the authors. The Holy Spirit is the author and the finisher of this book. So we're going to take a look at just three verses to start off this morning. And this all has to do with, and don't look at this as something just for someone else, or look at this for, this is something that was supposed to be said and spoken out to people in the past. This is for us today, as relevant for us today as it was when it was first written down and spoken and read to others. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, that's God, capital H, let us fear lest any one of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. That's a whole story right there. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So for we have believed, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. I tell you, there's so much in these three verses, you could spend a month on it and just begin to scratch the surface, because it leads to a lot of other things in the Bible, the other portions of the gospel, but also the old, linking the Old Testament with the New Testament. And what we're seeing here is there's a truth that God is bringing out here, and it's Jesus. He's bringing the truth about Jesus. Jesus, really, God wants to bring Jesus to people, no matter who they are or where they are or where what they're going through. And see, we have to wear this ourselves today, because Jesus has been brought to us through the gospel. This is a live book. It's a life-giving book. And he has come in our midst with his gospel and through the gospel to reach any and all, no matter what background you come from, no matter where you are in life, no matter what you're going through, and no matter what you're facing, that Jesus is able to find you and meet you where you are. But it requires one thing. It requires faith. It requires us to believe. And when we believe, there's a promise that's linked with our believing in it, because everything that God says that is a promise, his promises are and amen. They will come to pass, for sure as. Amen. So Jesus, you know, it's interesting that in the life that Jesus lived, it's just like Paul said, but Jesus said he became all things to all men and to reach them. And, you know, whatever nation you come from, all of us come from different nations, because none of us are from this nation originally, I don't think. Or maybe partially. But we're all, whatever nation we've come from, whatever ethnic background you are from, whatever DNA is in your racial background, whatever you look like, whatever your family looks like and whatever they do, and all of these different things. Right down even to this moment, God's looking for you, and God is there for you. And the gospel of God is there to change things. And all that change, as I said even a couple of Sundays ago, the change that starts inside. Our blood is not good enough to get us into heaven, even after, if we just sort of think about God and not really take what God says by faith to believe that what he says is true. None of us can get to heaven without Jesus. None of us can get to heaven without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and that he is the resurrection and has the power to deliver us to that place where he is at, where he's promised us. So whoever we are, whatever we are, whatever we're caught up in doing, God is speaking your language. You know, language, one of the most amazing things, and I think one of the most difficult things I think that happened was the Tower of Babel, when all these people had one voice and they were doing all one thing, but they were raising themselves up. And actually it was a protest and anti-worship to God, their creator. And what God did to suppress all of that and take care of it was to diffuse languages. I know, like, when Bruce and I and some of the team went to Vanuatu a number of times, the pidgin English is okay, but when you get to their tribal language, man, forget it. You try to look for body clues, like when they go, you sort of do the same thing, but you don't know what they're saying because you don't know their language. But it's interesting because God, no matter where these people come from and where they started from, no matter what the language is, God knows their language because they hear the name of Jesus and they hear the gospel in their own language. But I would fail because I don't know their language. I've gone to China and I don't know Chinese. But the Chinese people, God speaks their language. And he can reach them. God can reach you no matter what your language is, even if it's just English. Because God knows English too. So God wants to, he's reaching out to people no matter where, what their background is from. You know, in the Old Testament, you think of, when I go to the story of Moses, when there was the coming of the perfect time for Moses to begin to rise up and God calling him to lead his people out of Egypt from their bondage over 400 years. And God has some marvelous things that sometimes, little things that we can pass over. You know, sometimes we can say something to a person. How many parents here know that they can say something to their kids and ask them to do something?
Oh, I didn't hear you. Oh, I didn't understand what you said.
Isn't that right?
Oh, I didn't hear you. I didn't understand what you said.
Well, we can laugh at that because it is childish. But we do that. People do that with God. I think of the story of Pharaoh. Because Moses went to him under God's command and under the power of God. And he says, I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses was thinking all these different things, ready to run away. And God says, no, I'm using you. I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And when Moses spoke those words, it was like, and so what did God do? God began to use another language that would probably cause Pharaoh to begin to hear him. He spoke to frogs. Has anyone here ever spoke to frogs and have them do something? Have you ever spoken to a little frog? I didn't either. Began to speak to frogs. And if you read the story, man, there were frogs all over the place, man. They were jumping out of the baskets, bread bins, you know, up the sleeves, up pant legs, whatever they wore back then. It was just all over frogs. He was trying to communicate something to Pharaoh in a language that might get him to do something that he asked him to do. Let my people go. Did he understand frog language? No. So he went on to lice. God spoke to lice. Has anyone ever spoke to lice? I know you'd like to sometimes. Don't you get itchy even thinking about them, man? And the place was rampantly filled with lice, body lice. I can't imagine what that would be like, man. It would be horrible. God spoke, and that language that he spoke even through lice, it didn't do anything for Pharaoh. Didn't hear ya. Didn't hear ya. I do that to my grandkids. That's why I'm doing it. Not Joey and Hannah, but little Brooklyn. But I was thinking about this, too, because my little granddaughter's learning language, and she's learning now that when she hears things, she has a better understanding, and she starts to do things. And she's also telling Mommy and Daddy what to do, too, sometimes. And ourselves. They learn quick. So, it went on to life, and then it went on to God spoke to the birds. God spoke to all kinds of stuff. He spoke to the hail. Do you ever speak to hail and have it hail? God used a language. The reason why I'm saying this is that God created everything in his creation. And God spoke a word that made things respond. You and I don't have that ability within ourselves. But with the word of God, we have the power of God to speak things out that God says, speak, and it will be done. And it came to the final little crux of a language that God used to try again, and this time it was going to work, was to cause the death angel to take every firstborn, not only of human beings in the male, but even the cattle and livestock. And finally, for some reason, Pharaoh's ear popped open, and he heard. And he says, get out. Get these people out of here. And they finally left. You see, God speaks no matter. He spoke through a man, Moses, to speak to a man who didn't know God, who didn't understand the language that Moses really was speaking and the message that Moses had. But eventually, the Pharaoh heard. He even speaks to people who are going to perish. Loud and clear. Not that he wants them to perish, but gives them opportunity. You see, Pharaoh really, because God is no respecter of people, Pharaoh could have changed his mind instead of going through all of that, could have. But really what was inside of Pharaoh, God was bringing out, making it manifest. What is God speaking to you about? Are you listening? Are we listening to God this morning, to what he has to say? God can speak again to anything that he's created. He knows the language. And sometimes, even in witnessing I Give Life, we can go out there and think, well, this person is as hard as. Who are they? Are they going to listen to me? Moses even thought that. But when God speaks, there's life in his word. And when you speak his word, what he sent you to speak into will listen to his word, and he'll change. And they'll change, cause things to happen. God knows every tongue. He knows every kind and culture that we come from. God knows that whoever you are, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever we're caught up in, he knows to be able to speak something to us to set us free and also to embrace those things. The problem with the Hebrew people here is that the book, when it was written and those things were penned down and there was the ministering of this word to people, it was ministering to Old Testament religious indoctrinated people who for centuries and centuries adhere to the Old Testament, the old traditions, the old things that were said about God and certain ways to do things. Even some of the things that they conjured up that they conjured up wasn't even on their God's agenda. Rituals and things and things that they had to do over and over and over again to sort of appease God. But what they were failing to hear is, and the writer of the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, was convinced to teach and to preach the gospel, to set these people free to what they were bound to in the old, to cause them to be untied, in a sense, and tied, and move onto the new through Jesus Christ. You see, because Jesus said it, he says, I didn't come to take away the Old Testament, I've come to fulfill it. So really, it was an easy transition. They already had the old. That's all they had to do is accept the new. And that was the difficulty. And, you know, we can laugh at these people and say, oh, but let me tell you something. I came from an old way of a traditional way of thinking that I was set in as I was growing up. Some of those things were really good and powerful, and I needed. And some of those things brought me my salvation through a pastor that loved me into it. But there's some traditions that I kept on doing over and over and over again because I was steeped in doing them. It's hard to change sometimes, isn't it? Thank God for yourself, Kylie, because you've just recently come in. You're not carrying a lot of luggage like some of us have had to carry, and some of us still may be carrying luggage. God wants you to put the luggage down at the altar and get off and just be free wherever you want to make your altar. It doesn't have to be necessarily at church. But it's making that transition to know a living and true God who has the power to change life, to change direction, to put you in his destiny, to put you on his path for the purpose that he's created you for. So this is part of the problem, all of these things that were going on. The book of Hebrews is the book of better things. It's the book of better ways, the best way. And, it's all complete. One thing that God does, and I think if you've been walking with God long enough, well, you learn to find this out anyways. I don't know about you, but I have. God is a God who leads you to the better. How many here want the better? How many here have not taken the better in some areas? Don't you dare put your hand down. Because we're still learning. And God's still releasing us. And if you were perfect, you'd be out preaching. Because you know that the only thing that really is the most important thing in life is to see souls saved and kept from going into a lost eternity. Has anyone been watching the news about the volcano going off in Hawaii? Take a look at it. I tell you what, since March 3rd, it's been going off, blurting out blobs of molten lava. Enough that in 25 seconds, an Olympic pool can be filled. Every 25 seconds, all that magma going down. And it's created thousands of acres of new land. Marvelous. Marvelous. But God, you know, what we're seeing here. But those things are important for us to take a look at. You know, what's happening in Hawaii is one thing. What's happening on a global scale is also interesting because, just to put this in, if you didn't know, is that this happens once every 120 years. But right now, between the 19th of this month until September 2nd, I think it is, or 6th, that all of the planets in our solar system will be on one, not lined up, but will be on one side of the sun. And I think there might be a connection with some of the things that are taking place on Earth because it's happened before. I thought we were supposed to be preaching the gospel. Well, gospel is truth. God said there would be signs in the heavens. There would be signs on the earth. There would be signs under the earth. But that's not the gospel. Yes, it is. Jesus said the last days, watch. Keep your eyes open. It's all pointing to Jesus. Or are we just going? Is God speaking a language this morning? I think the reason why I'm saying that is with all the stuff that's going on, even watching the volcano and all the effects that it's having, we are witnessing things that Jesus said would take place. It's part of the gospel. Jesus preached it. It's in Matthew. It's in the other gospels that these things would take place. Well, what are they there for? To point us in God's direction, to keep our faith strong, to cause us to hold on to our most holy faith in the things that God has given us. And as much as the world is trying to tear us to pieces with all this new stuff that's coming up and all of these new ways that they say are, you're a fool if you believe the Bible, you're too old-fashioned, don't waste your time, it's ridiculous, start growing up, and they're telling us to leave the past behind. They've got no future. In fact, let's put it this way. When you look at humanity today, and the next time you go down the street and a person's not saved, if I can just say this the right way, they're as good as dead. Sodom and Gomorrah. Some of the places that God went, that sent God, well, the places that God sent his people, that sent his, he sent a person or people. You know, Jonah went to Nineveh, but before Jonah went to Nineveh, those people were as good as dead. Why did God send Jonah to preach the gospel? Because they were as good as dead to preach. Did they accept his language? Did they accept him? Yes. But did Jonah hear God? Did Jonah want to hear God? No. There was a change that had to take place in Jonah. You know, sometimes there's a change that has to take place in you and I. Not sometimes. A change always has to take place in us because our emotions fluctuate every week, every day. Sometimes several times in a day. Sometimes it's the whole day. We're fluctuating. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. God, I believe you. Thank you, God. I don't believe you. Thank you, God. Cry to God. Thank, praise God. Hallelujah. And we come to church, it's like, I had a whole week of this stuff, man. I'm done. I'm burned out. Listen to the voice of God. God knows your language. He hears your cry. The psalmist says it over and over again. He says, Lord, hear the cry of my heart. Don't you think God hears? I know he hears. Because I've experienced it a lot of times, you know, in my own life. No matter what you're facing, God has something better for you. What are you facing this morning? I know right now our church is facing a death of a saint. So we're going to have a time of grieving, all of us at varying distances to this person. But what are you facing when nobody is around? You. There isn't a person in this place that isn't plagued by something of a circumstance that can absolutely unwind you, that can tear your emotions to shreds, that can cause you to just feel like you are a piece of cow dung. Or am I the only piece of cow dung standing here? We can feel that way sometimes. Life can throw things at us sometimes. What are you facing today? You know, we can cover it up. Ladies, you can cover it up with the, I'm not saying you do this, but, you know, you can cover your face up and put all this makeup on and you put the smile on and it's all right. And the fellas just come in with this, I'm tough, I'm rough, and I'm okay for God. How you going, mate? Should be right, mate. Really? You lying thing, you. How many times have I done that? How are you going? I'm all right. Good. Good day outside. You lying thing, you. That's how I'm talking to myself. What about you? Am I the only liar in this place? Man's a liar? God's not. God knows our language. He knows our hearts. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows our circumstances. God is following you to take you out of your circumstances that are ready to inundate you. Because they've been sent, some of them have been sent by Satan. Some of them are there because of you to free you from that. Because it's difficult to run a race that God says, run this race that I've set before you. When you've got all these things and you're carrying and you got suitcases. And did you ever see people at an airport? Sometimes it's these people, they just got suitcases. And they're looking for the nearest escalator to get on. They just, and they get off. And they go up to the escalator again, and they get on. It sort of carries them away until they start hitting the terra firma, and they got to carry that load. Sometimes in life it's that way. We're carrying a load, and we're looking for God's escalator in the spirit. So that we could just put these down for a couple of seconds and get a breather, then go on, because we're going somewhere. Where are you going? What exactly did he say? If you have any room in your suitcase, I'll come with you. But where are we going? God's interested in where you're going. Because he has his plan. He knows where you are. He knows that if there's any deviation you've taken. He knows that if you're going in the right direction, but you've got luggage. That's the sad part. Going in God's direction, but you're carrying luggage. That shouldn't be there because it slows you down. You know, you get to a point. Some people learn it in younger days. Most don't. But when you start getting a little bit old and you walked with the Lord, you start realizing, you know, I've got to take these weights off. I've got to get these straps and these chains off so I can start running instead of towing that ball with me, instead of carrying this heavy luggage of, you know, hurts and griefs and all these different things of how you look at other people and how you think about things. And don't just look at me like I'm the only one, because you don't like some people either. I can see smiles on your faces. There's some people you despise. There's some people you're jealous of. There's some people this and that. And there's some people that are doing that to you. Church is real. This book of Hebrews is real. God wants you to hear what he has to say so that he can set you free. The old is just a matter of letting loose and reaching out to the better. Every day with you, girl, is sweeter than the day before. Remember that one? No, you guys, you young people don't. Every day I love you more and more, more and more and more. Yeah. Well, God wants us to say that about him. And God is saying that about us every day. I love you more, son. I love you more, daughter. I've got something better for you. One of the most difficult things is to give someone a gift when they're depressed. To give them a gift when they're hurting. To give them a gift when they're not right mentally. To give them a gift when something has happened of a trauma in their life that causes them to just feel oppressed. Because it's just like water that just on the flame. God knows our language. God's not going to cause your flame to go out. He doesn't want that to go out, but we have to hear what he has to say. Your blessings will not come out of your past. That's what I was trying to say about the luggage. You're carrying luggage. God has something better. But it's not going to be your luggage that's going to give you the better. It's going to be God who's going to give you the better. Don't let your past rob the best that God has for you. Amen. There's another verse of scripture. If we could take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. That's our last scripture. That's what it says. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who, what? Love him. Do you love God this morning? If you don't really love God this morning, you need to. I encourage you to love him more and more and more. Because God is bringing us to the best that he has and wants to be able to bring us to the best that he has for us. I'll just say this anyways. If you're here this morning, it may not be all, but there might be a sprinkle, or there might just be one. But I've got it written down because I just know that God is in the work of dealing with people's hearts, and you may that be that person this morning. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on God. He never quit on you. If there's anything that has kept me going, is to realize the price that God paid and the faithfulness that he had to give to make that payment for my own soul. When you know that in your heart, you'll do anything after that to follow God, hell or high water, whatever it's going to take to throw things out of your life that have to be thrown out, because God has something better and newer for you just on the horizon. We had a sign at the old church on Montague Street, the best is yet to come. Over and over and over again, I'd look at that sign. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. In fact, why don't you say that with me now? Say it together. The best is yet to come. Now, let's just, I know people don't like to do this, but take a look at your neighbor and say, your wife or your neighbor, and say, the best is yet to come. Praise God. Remember that now. And don't just say it like pretty, pretty, pretty here. And then when you go out and say, it's never going to happen. Because it doesn't feel that way. God says he's promised it. What is it? The book of Hebrews is all about the people who did not have faith to believe and was said lost it. That's pretty hard. Was it God's fault? It would be like handing a child a chocolate bar. Who wouldn't take that? Which child wouldn't take a chocolate bar? And all of a sudden, they go like little Brooklyn does to us sometimes. She goes, nah. Nah. And pushes you away. Nah. And you went out to buy this thing, and you say, oh, I can't wait to give it to her. To bless her. It's something, it's good. It's better. I'm going to give it to her. Don't be a fool. Don't quit on God because he's never quit on you. Don't hold God off at arm's length because you don't feel good on the day. God will make you feel better on the day if you put your face in his face. I don't look at God's hand for handouts, but I look for God in his face because I want to get right in his face. Breath and all, eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose, mouth to mouth. And to speak to God and hear him, sometimes I've got to shut. I know when I have to shut my mouth. And sometimes, if I could just say this, all these things are coming out. But sometimes it's good if we just, when we get in God's face, it's to shut up. Just be quiet. Like electric teeth. God also wants to talk to you. And I've left my quiet place many, many times. I've gotten to my place many, many times. Got to sing this here song. And I'm saying, not like that, but I sing to God, and all of a sudden it's just, and something's missing, and I just stop. And I just wait on God. Something begins to happen. Yeah, God wants to hear what you've got, but God already knows too. And God wants you and needs you to listen to what he has to say. I want to say something else too. If you're here and you've ever committed or wanted to, not never committed, but if you've thought about committing suicide, I really don't know who I'm talking to. But I guarantee that it's gone over at least several people's minds over years. Do not commit suicide. Don't quit on your life. When you kill yourself, you kill your future. When you kill yourself, you've cut off what God was about to give you, to enhance not only to better you off, but to better others off. I don't know who I was talking to this morning about those particular things. Don't quit on God. And I don't know who I'm talking to as far as if you've ever been thinking about suicide, because it's probably one of the main killers in Australia, of young people especially. Not good. We've had some famous people that had it all. Robin Williams, all these people that had everything. But they're carrying luggage. Some did not know God. And others knew God. Whitney Houston, marvelous voice. T.D. Jakes did her funeral, was at her funeral. Stevie Wonder was there, others. Cut short. They didn't quite get all that God had for them. If you've been contemplating quitting walking with God, don't. If you've been contemplating, listen, if you've been contemplating suicide, don't. Because you're stopping your life, you're killing your life to receive something that God has for you for the rest of your life. Not going to get into all the things about it's wrong to do it. You're going to go to hell if you do it. Forget that stuff. It's just we've been born to live a life for God. This morning, if we all stand to our feet, this morning, I'm going to ask us to do something. It's a little bit different. I'm not going to call you to come up to the altar. But I'm going to ask Ben. And if you needed prayer, you can put your guitar down. If someone felt to pray for Ben, you do that. But I'm going to ask Ben if you just get something on there. And I'm going to ask us to have something that we should be doing a little bit more often. We did it once in a while. But I want us to begin to close our eyes, if we could. And while Ben is playing this music, ask God to place someone on your heart in this auditorium. Whether it's a young person or a child or a mom or a dad or even a whole family, anyone. And if God will put them on your heart, that you go to that person or people, begin to lay hands on them by faith in the name of Jesus, and begin to pray God's best over them. Begin to pray encouragement over them. Begin to pray his word over them. Begin to pray in tongues if you don't know what to say. Pray in tongues over them. Praise God. I'd like everybody to get involved in this morning. Maybe it's a song you can sing over someone that would bring healing. Because you don't know what that person's really going through. Some of us are pretty transparent. Others of us have thick concrete walls. God's bigger than that all. Come on, people, let's get engaged with each other. God's putting someone on your heart. Even if you may not feel a complete directness, just go to someone. Begin to pray with them. It's called body ministry. It's called the love of Jesus shed on us. It's called compassion. It's called life ministry. It's called friendship in Christ.